All right, so we're going to start in verse 7 this morning, and then we're going to kind of dig through. We'll go end up kind of landing at verse 18, so we're going to go through a lot of scripture. However, I won't go through all of it. I'm just going to kind of hit some highlights on different ones, and then I've got a couple of different versions that I'm going to read from. One is the two versions I'm going to read from. One is the NLT, which I usually preach from, and then the other one is going to be the Passion Translation. And so there's some things in here that I really want to dive into, because the title of this sermon is called No Strings Attached. If you're taking notes, which you should, I believe it's something that God will speak to you as you take notes. He speaks something specifically for you. It's by faith that you take notes. It's, you know, as God begins to reveal things to you, you're like, okay, and that's how you mature and grow. How many of you know that we should be always desiring to mature? So take notes. It's something that God can help use to kind of bring some fresh revelation for you in your life. So no strings attached. So verse 7, it says this: "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. That is real love. Not that we loved God, that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Now, we could read all that, and honestly, if we're really honest with ourselves, most of us are callous to the fact that God sent his Son to die for us and that it was initiated through love. It becomes something that is ingrained in our society because we're taught as Christians that God loves, and that it loses its power because of this thought process that God loved and he had to do it. And then we kind of begin to take on some different, you know, thought processes on it. And so what I want to do is kind of strip some of that stuff back and kind of reinstitute or kind of open up the new idea of that love is all we have. Like, love is it. If we don't have love and it's not motivated from him, we have nothing. So I want to challenge you with the fact that many of us have experienced, we know what love is, but a lot of us have been hurt from people we thought loved us, right? That's where a lot of us fall prey to, is that now I'm not going to love because I've been hurt by love. We've done things that, you know, I'm going to do this and then that. We put all of our energy into a person, and then that person lets us down. We've been there, right? And so this becomes the byproduct of love, is that we love then becomes conditional, right? We begin to put terms on it. It's like, hey, sign this contract and this will determine how much I love you, right? We don't do that intentionally, but in our hearts, we have this contract with people. There's certain people we will love to a certain degree, right? And let me ask you this question this morning. How many of you guys loved somebody this week that you love? Raise your hand real quick. How many of you loved somebody this week that you love? Come on. Everybody loved somebody. How many of you guys loved somebody you hated this week? Right. The number goes down because why? Because we try to restrict love, right? That is for something for us as Christians that becomes a tendency that we begin to do is that because why? Because we understand the power of love. We understand that love took a sinner like me and saved me. And we know that if we love that person we hate, they might actually get changed. And I won't have a reason to hate them anymore. Are we going too deep too soon? Okay. I mean, I'm just trying to start off this. And so, you know, you've ever received this love from somebody and then it's like, oh, hey, there's strings attached. You're like, really? Like, that's how it is. And I think that a lot of times, I think that that's how the world views Christians. That we will love you, but there's some strings attached. Like, I will love you, but you have to come to my church. And if you don't come to my church, then I'm going to distance myself. Oh, you got to believe like I believe, or I'm going to distance myself. And so we begin to put terms, we begin to put strings on people and say, hey, if you'll be my little puppet, I will love you. But God didn't die so you could have puppets. He died so that you could love people even when they're hurting and they don't agree with you. Even when they don't necessarily fall in the lines of your theology, and they don't believe in the Trinity, and they don't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they don't believe in your political view, and they don't believe that whatever, abortion is wrong or right, and they step, you're like, oh, okay, whoa, I remember falling prey to that, but it robbed me. It stripped me from my opportunity to love them into a viewpoint of God's love, right? And so we have these strings that sometimes are attached, and we don't realize it, and we don't do it intentionally, but then we begin to realize that actually my life isn't as effective as the kingdom was supposed to be through my life. And so here it starts off in verse 7. I'm going to read the Passion Translation. It's a little bit more passionate. And so it says this in verse 7. It says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. So what happens is that my ability to pour into you is contingent on God pouring love into me. And the major disconnection between me being able to love you and a stranger is, am I disconnected or connected to God? Because if I'm connected to God, I can't help but love you, because I'm not giving you my love, I'm giving you his love, and he died on the cross for you. So therefore I have to express this love that he gave me to you, because it's his love. And so many of us have this phileo love, and we get confused with these types of love because we just think love is universal, and universal love is not true. Universal love, there is one universal love, and that's agape love. That's the love that nailed Jesus to the cross and had him stay there for 3 days and be put in a tomb and give his life up. That is universal love. But the other kind of love, like I love Taco Bell, and I love dogs, and I love cats, and I love this, and I love that, that is phileo love. That is brotherly love. That is a type of love that all of us have, and those are the ones that we oftentimes use to give and take away. But you have no right, hear me, you have no right to restrict God kind of love to people that are hurting and broken. You have no right. You should feel convicted that you are holding back the love that nailed Jesus to a cross and feel like they don't deserve it. Because I want you to know this morning, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, but God gave it to me anyway. And it's what transformed my life. Understand that this morning, that love for people is a result of his love for you. The reason I love people is because I understand how much God loved me. That I don't just love people because they're people. I love them because I see them through the lens of love, which is God love. So what I want to do is I want to break down this thought that so many of us, we've heard, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You've heard it, right? The Great Commission. It's true. It's biblical. But I just think about, what if God meant go into all of your world and preach the gospel? Because I look at our world in the sense of like Olympic rings. You know, the logo, the Olympics, and they all are intertwined. It's all these nations, right, that are represented. And there's these circles, these rings, and they're interlocked. And I think it's interesting that maybe that's what Jesus meant, is to go into all the world, because if all of us go into our world, we end up going into all of the world. We begin to reach a world that is lost and broken and hurting because I'm willing to reach into my world, my circle, my sphere of influence, and love them. And when I do that, my circle intertwines with her circle, and her circle intertwines with your circle, and your circle intertwines with another circle. And before you know it, we're winning the world because we're focusing on the people around us and not the world at large. And can I throw this out there, that I think it's easier to go into Africa and India and South America and to go to Guatemala and to go to California and go to South Carolina, where we went last year to go love on hurricane victims, because I can love them. And then when I get back here, I can still act like a fool. I can still act hateful. I can still act like I'm, like however I want to act. But when I get there, I'm like, hey, how are you doing? What would you like for me to do for you? And we have all of these things that we're willing to do for people when we get into that sphere. And then when we come back into our old self. But see, the problem is when you have to love your circle of sphere of influence, you actually have to change. You actually have to be controlled by this love. You actually have to be driven and guided and led by this love. So the reason that why we don't love some of our family members and we don't love some of our friends, we love, and we call them friends, but we keep them at a distance. Like, you know, you got those friends. It's like, I love you. When I see you at the grocery store, I'm like, okay, do I really want to talk to them? They will talk and they will talk and they will talk. And then it's like, I got to get back to the food. I mean, it's like, oh my God. Some of y'all know these, you know those people right now. You're like, yep, I know that person. But you call them a friend. Oh, you call them a friend when you need something from them. Okay. See, that's what we do is we put contingencies on people and we say, well, you can be my friend if you can do this for me. If you can provide some source of security or peace or joy or hope or laughter or fun or entertainment or a nice sweet ride, I get to drive in your car, you can take me from here to there. See, we have these contingencies on people. But God didn't have a contingency plan on you. God died for you knowing that you may be hateful and mean to your family and rude to your friends, and you don't even know how you got friends. Your friends are dwindling by the month. Like, I had 75 friends, and I'm down to 2. Right? It's because love's not controlling you anymore. Love is not leading and driving you. See, the measure of love given won't exceed the love received. I can't outlove what God is putting in me. Right? And I think that's what happens is we hear this love thing, and we just say, man, God loves me. But we're trying to be God's love disconnected from him. I mean, I go to church. I do these certain things, so I've got to have love. No, you can come to church and be an atheist and have zero connection to God. The whole idea of church is to convince you to have this infatuation with Jesus and be so connected to him that you cannot live your world without loving people. But so many times we're trying to love people, but keep God at a distance. And you will never be effective for the kingdom if you try to love people. Because see, you can't get away from people. Because when you go to work, they're there. When you go home, they're there. When you do whatever you do, there are people everywhere. But see, that's what we do is because we're so inundated with people, we just try to love them in our capacity. And we fail to love them. That's why when you're driving down the road and you just came out of worship, how great is that? And then somebody cuts you off and you... Don't tell me you have never done that. How great? I'm just telling them how great God is. Right? How is that? Because there's a disconnection between you or between the love that God's giving you and your love for that person. You don't have grace for that person that cut you off, even though yesterday you cut somebody else off. Did you yourself off? What are you doing, Stu? No, right? We have way more grace for ourselves and our mistakes. But God is wanting to give you love so that you can love your sphere, your circle, your people. The family members that no one else wants to love because they're weird. You don't know, have any of those friends or those relatives, right? I've got a few of them. They're not here this morning, so it's good. But right, we've all got some of those friends and those family members that are a little bit harder to love than others. But should they be rejected God's love because they're a little different? Or could it be that you love them so well that it actually changes them? It actually transforms what they actually see and how they view God. See, we believe in the power of love, right? That's why we try to control it. If you're really honest, you believe in the power of God's love. And that's why you have this thermostat on it that controls the temperature that somebody else gets. Right? We try to say, well, that person, they really offended me 2 years ago, so they aren't getting love from me. That person, they bought me lunch yesterday. I'm going to go give them a hug. Right? See, by being human, naturally try to play God's role. And as long as we do that, Christianity will continue to stay stale and stagnant in your world. People will not be getting saved. People's lives will not be getting changed. People will not be having transformed lives because as long as you become the God of love, you will always err on the side of choosing not to give it. I will always choose an error on the side of what can you do for me that you should get it? Why do you deserve love? But see, when God controls it, it isn't about me and what I feel is worthy. I can honestly say right now, there's not a person that I hate. There's not a person that if I was to come in contact with, I wouldn't say it wouldn't be a weird and awkward conversation. But I believe that I could love those people because I've realized that I've gotten to the place that through all the dark spots in my life, that God was consistent in loving me, and I have no right to not love them. And I think that when you understand that, that when you not, when you try not to have the patent on love, that you will give it away much quicker. Because understand, you don't have the patent because you don't have the holes in your hand. See, Jesus owns that patent. He is the one who gives love away. He is the one who says, hey, it's I'm the controller of the love. I give it to whoever I want. We are the distributors. And you and I should not try to be the controllers of God's love. We should always err on the side of distributing. It doesn't mean that you don't have tough conversations. It doesn't mean that you can't confront people. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with everybody. That is not love. Love still confronts and love still doesn't agree. It's not that you err on the side of grace and it's like everybody's every, you got, no, that's not. It's that you love that person even in the middle of their mistake or their mess and their inability to not fully grasp your viewpoint. And I hope that this morning you could be set free from some of these things that the world has done. And the world, look, if we try to live our Christian lives like the world lives their lives, it's going to be all about what you can obtain before you give anything away. But that is not where our foundational faith came from. Our foundational faith is in Jesus Christ, and he gave his life while we were yet still sinners. While you could give him nothing, Christ died for you. We forget that. Like we forget the essence of our faith is in a man that we believed loved us even while we were still sinners. And that's why we're sitting in a church on a Sunday morning when we could be out on the lake and we could be out doing all kinds of other things. Because of this love that captivated our hearts and changed us, why would we restrict that kind of power for other people that are hurting? For friends and family members and coworkers? Because right now you're already thinking that person at work, dear Jesus, help me. And if you pray that, he will. If you pray that, he will help you. I would challenge you to make it a point to find someone this week in your circle that you can love. Not in somebody else's circle. I'm talking about the people that you interact with on a daily basis, weekly basis, that you come in contact with and love them like Jesus loved them. Make that a challenge this week that you will love somebody in your circle, in your world, that you know Jesus loves. See, love can only be expressed through action. I know we think that we can love people with words. And for a moment that works. I can tell all of our leadership and all of our people that do stuff all the time, like, man, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But if it doesn't start moving into action and I'm starting to, you know, give them a hug or invest in them, that love begins to dry up real quick. Because there needs to be action behind love. In fact, the byproduct of love is action. Jesus didn't say, hey, I love you. I really wanted to die for you, but it's going to be painful, so I'm going to back out of that, but I still love you. You'd be like, what? Like, how am I going to get redeemed? Oh, man, I love you. You're awesome. You're so sweet. I love you. Yeah, but I got to be redeemed. I know, but I love you. It's awesome. No, it was Jesus. That is what provokes you and me to want to be a part of the relationship with him, is that he put nails in his hands and he was mocked and he was beaten. The Bible says that he was beaten so bad that he couldn't even be seen as a man. That touches our hearts because we see that he did that for us, even though I didn't even know him and I didn't care about him and I was stuck in my sin and I was enjoying it. And then I found out about this man named Jesus who died for me. It changes everything. Actions. What my point is this, is quit telling people you love them and start showing them. Stop telling all these people that you love them. I love your family. But anytime you call me, it's like, oh, red button accidentally. I mean, hopefully it's a red button if you're iPhone. If you got an Android, I don't know what color it is because those are not even real phones. But anyway, don't send an email. I'm kidding. Right? But it's interesting how we can say, oh, I love you, but anytime it requires time, action, energy, it's like, maybe I don't love them. Right? See, it's action is actually what reveals whether you love somebody or not. It's you being inconvenienced. Pretty sure that Jesus was like, I mean, I'll do it, but don't do the nail thing and beat me or anything. Like, it was inconvenient for Jesus. And I think that so many times we want to be able to give love and it's not being convenient. It's not cost us anything. But it is going to cost you. It may be costing you rejection. I'm going to love this person even though I know that we don't have whatever, but I'm going to love them anyway. And they may reject you. And they may say, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you have to say to me. But understand that when you leave, the Holy Spirit goes with them. When you love them, the Holy Spirit follows them and says, hey, you know that forgiveness you're carrying around? You really need to give, you need to open yourself up. And the Holy Spirit, that's the power of action. When you go with love and you actually use action, the Holy Spirit begins to follow and mess with them and whisper in their ears. You know what I'm talking about when you couldn't get away from Jesus and you woke up, you went to sleep, I want to go to sleep. I have a dream about him. You wake up, someone else is talking about him. It's like you just can't get away from this love. This is what happens when we take love into action form, right? In verse 11, it says this, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. In other words, he's saying, look, this thing isn't just about you getting love. Surely you should be giving it to other people. Surely you should be distributing this. Verse 11 in this other version, it says this, delightful ones, delightfully loved ones. If he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. See, our way of life should be loving people. It should be, how can I figure out another way to love that person in a new way because I just got to let them know how much Jesus loves them. Look, you're not trying to let people know how much you love them. You're trying to let them know how much Jesus loves them. But you have to do that through your love. Jesus isn't coming back again to die on the cross. He's done it. It is finished. I'm pretty sure that's what he said on the cross. It is finished. He gave the rest of the responsibility for the kingdom, for the world to be saved, and he put it in our possession, and he gave us this incredible thing called love. And he said, hey, if I give you this, that is the greatest resource you will ever have. There is no greater resource that the kingdom of God gave you than love. Love is universal. It crosses every denomination, every love language, every language. It crosses all denominations, all nationalities. Love is a universal language. And I want you to understand this morning that you have been given that, but you also have to stay connected to God in order to give it out. And a lot of times we fall short because we're not connected to God, and so we therefore can't give out this love. Because when you're connected to God, you can love and you see things from a different angle. You see things from an angle of, I've got to do whatever I've got to do to get to help this person experience God. Disconnected, you're like, I got to do whatever I can to get out of this because this is getting real awkward and I don't like this conversation. See, love will keep you in a conversation. Love will keep you in a relationship that everybody else will leave. Everybody else will exit. And we need that type of love. I love that it says, then loving one another should be our way of life. Are you known for your love? Those in your circle, how are you known? As critical, judgmental, gossiper, strife, envy, jealousy, malice? How are you known in your circle? Or are you known by, that person's person loves me, man. They know all the stuff that I've, I mean, I've said some horrible stuff. I've been so rude to them, and they just love me. Like, they just love me. You know that you're never going to change people by hating them. Anybody ever had a transformation for Jesus because you hated somebody? Man, I hated them so bad. They came running to the altar. So you can continue to be convinced that hate and judgment, being judgmental and being critical and all of that's going to win people to Jesus, but it's not. You're never going to win somebody to Christ except through love. It is love and love alone that's going to compel someone to come, to know him, right? That's what the Bible says. So either we believe it or not. Either we can continue to judge them and criticize them and critique them and look at them up and down, or we can say, you know what, you are a little different, but let's have a conversation. Look, I'm not saying, again, that you've got to agree with every person and every situation and all the different things that they're going on, but you have no right not to love. I mean, I'm just waiting for the sermon to be over for me because I just can't wait to see what the enemy's going to throw at me this week. It's going to be awesome. Because he's going to challenge me. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to challenge you to love someone. And I hope you hear my echo in your ear. You got to love them. Because I'm going to hear my own voice all week and it's going to be weird. Or my wife. You know that sermon you preached on Sunday? I don't know what you're talking about. She does do that. Love becomes restricted where there's a lack of revelation. Look, I think that it's easy. Oh, I forgot about how much Jesus saved me. See, when you forget about what Jesus did for you, it's easy to forget about what you should do for others. But when you understand what Jesus did for you, you will go the extra mile to love others wherever they're at. Right? So revelation is actually what fuels or restricts my ability to love. I think that love is sacrificing without expecting anything in return. That I'm willing to give out, it's not a contingency on what you can give back to me. It's that I believe in the power of love and that I'm going to give it. And I'm going to believe that the power of love of God is working on your life. That it's going to work out in this situation. And I'm just going to believe it. You see, your expression of love is how others view him. So others have a skewed view of Jesus because of us. Like, they have a totally different view of Jesus because of how we love those that are hurting or broken in our circle. And they're outside of your circle saying, how come you won't love? You told me that you went to that Reach Church. You have a sticker on the back of your car. This is Reach Church. And why aren't you loving them? And guess what happens is that person doesn't want to know the God you serve if that's how you serve, if that's how you love. And I know this is somewhat elementary in the sense of that, yeah, we know love, but it's not about that we know love. It's that are we being love? Are we acting out love? Are we loving those that don't necessarily think and act and are hard to get around, they're hard to get along with? They're difficult people. We all have those in our world, and I think it's for a reason. Because it makes us have to feel like Jesus felt. To know the magnitude of his love is by embracing this and letting it out. In verse 18, it says this. It says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. It didn't say some fear. It says all fear. And I think I read this and I wanted to put this in here because I believe that a lot of us have a fear of reaching our circle. We have a fear of, what are they going to think? What are they going to, how are they going to take this? But notice what fear does. Fear removes all worry and all fear. Love removes all of that. It strips it, and it doesn't have a concern about how people are going to react or respond. It just gives it away, and it's on them to deal with that and process it. Right? And so the elimination of fear is the presence of love. And maybe this, though, and let me go from a different angle for a moment. Maybe there's people in your circle that are dealing with fear, and they need the love that you have so that they can be set free from the fear that they're dealing with, from the anxiety that they're dealing with, from the worry and the stress of life, and they don't know how they're going to get pregnant, and they don't know how they're going to pay the bills, and they don't know how they're going to get to college, and they don't know how they're going to have this vehicle. They don't know how this, but love steps in and expels fear. It eliminates fear. Because see, I know that there's people in my world that are dealing with fear, and then that's when I step in and I encourage them and say, you know what, God loves you more. He's going to take care of you. I want you to know that God's love is bigger than that. And when you do that, it's like what they saw as huge in their life gets dissolved, because love is a consumer. Love consumes, and it overshadows fear. But look, if you won't take love, then some of the family members and some of the friends and some of the coworkers are going to continue to deal with fear. Fear of being loved, accepted, you name it. Because see, the world fuels their fear. I mean, if you go into the world, it will give you every excuse to believe fear is your only deal. It's your only consequence. It's your only result you're going to get. And then love steps in and says, hey, I'm love, and I want you to know that God has come into your world to change and transform your situation. And it gives hope, and it gives joy. The Bible says this, that there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And I think it's so interesting that love sticks around, because love should stick around. We as Christians should be the person that when everybody else has left these people, we're still standing. We're still waiting. We're still praying, and we're still believing, because love does not give up, right? See, the elimination of fear, it is the presence of love. Fear, I said that totally wrong, but what I'm saying is that look, fear cannot stand up against love. It just has, there is no comparison. There is not. It's like, you know, you've seen root, like galaxies, see the garden of galaxies, like there's a little root and then there's a big root. It's like those two comparisons. It's like, there's no comparison between fear and love. Love will win every time. Love, if you will use the love that God's given you, it will win every time. It will not win the timeline that you expect, but love will win. And that's another thing that we do, is we put a contingency on God. Okay, I'm gonna love him, but it's gotta happen in this time frame. But that's not what God did for you. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to give you love, and it's got to be done in this certain amount of time, and then if it doesn't, then I'm out. No, God continued to pour love into you because he understood the power of its love. You know, we're coming into Easter, and there's a lot of people in your circle, in your world, that have maybe been hurt by people that are Christians. They've been hurt. They've maybe never even stepped into a church. Just never been around that type of life. And what if the consequences of Easter's results in the next couple of weeks coming up, that they come to church and they get saved and they give their lives to Jesus and they encounter his love, could be a result of you loving your circle? That you're willing to say, okay, I'm going to take some initiative. I'm going to go love the people in my life, the people in my world. I'm going to go love them. I'm going to see what Jesus will do. Because we're going to commit to pray for your circle, to pray for the people in your world the next few weeks. I believe, God, that all of a sudden they're going to call you, send you a text, say, hey, man, I want to come to Easter with you. You shouldn't be shocked, because that's the power of love. Because love has this an amazing ability to break down walls that you've been trying to do for years. Had these conversations, you've gotten out all kinds of books and Google, you'd be like, this is what it says. I mean, you've done everything you can. Guys, that's not what's going to change people. It's you stepping into your world and owning it and taking responsibility for your circle and loving them well. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. If you would stand up this morning as we close. You know, the circle, this is a, just another little thought. That for many of you, you look at your circle and you're like, man, it is so unhealthy. There's just so much stuff. And my thought back at that is maybe God put you in that circle so that you could make that circle healthy. So that you could speak life, so that you could speak hope, so that you could speak purpose, so that you could be the Jesus that they need. So instead of saying it's just an unhealthy environment, maybe you stepping into it and owning it and taking responsibility will change everything about it. Today, what I want to ask you to do is close your eyes for just a moment, and I want you to think about the circle, those people in your life, those coworkers, your family members, some of those people that you interact with just at random through different events. I want you to just think about them. And I want you to take some responsibility and to say, that's my circle. To say that with me, that's my circle. So confess this with me if you would. Say, Jesus, I take responsibility for my circle. I will love them well. I will bring them hope. I will bring them joy. And I will bring them you. Lord, help me love them like you love them. In Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, this morning you've heard a lot about love. And you will always hear a lot about love in this church because it's the only thing that changes people. As you've heard this, maybe you've said, I want to know this Christ. I want to know Jesus. I want to accept him. I want to have him lead my life. And maybe you've prayed the prayer, but you never committed your life to Jesus. And you never really gave him over your life. But this morning you say, I want to make Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I want to rededicate my life back to him. If that's you this morning, if you would just slip your hand up real quick. And I just want to see who those people are this morning. I just want to pray with you. Say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. Anybody in here this morning would say, I want to know Christ. I want to give him my heart. Lord, you know the people that are hurting and broken in our world. And God, we pray that you'd give us the compassion to reach and to love them well. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.